just going to very quickly tell you a little bit about myself, all right? Just so we get to know each other a little bit more. So there's me and my wife, my two children. I think that picture was taken in Turkey. There's my daughter, Sammy. She's here today with our dog and her horse. She said, if I don't show that, I'm in big trouble. So there's the love of her life. That's Reggie. There she is riding him. There's me and my son just before we did something dramatic up in the air and on holiday and hang gliding or something, whatever you call it. And there's me, my lovely wife, who's there. I know what you're thinking. Because if I spoke to you, you'd say, what a sweet picture. But what you're thinking is, what a big wine glass she's got. Look at that. I'm on the orange juice, you know. She's cutting down, as you can see. She's on the wine. Right, I thought I'd ask today a question of us all that I'm going to try and answer as well. And the question is this. Am I good enough to get to heaven? And I think that's a question probably all of us have thought about at some point in our life. Whether you consider yourself to be religious or not, you know, whether you're a Christian or whatever you consider yourself to be, whether you think it's all a load of rubbish, whatever, right? We've probably all asked that question. If there is a heaven, am I good enough to get to heaven? And I'm going to give the Christian perspective only to this answer. So I'm not giving a range of answers. I'm not giving, you know, like what other religions might think or other philosophers might think. I'm only looking at the Christian viewpoint today. Okay, so I'm going to make an assumption that there is a heaven. And it's the heaven that's described in the Bible. Now, you can talk about that with your friends, whoever you've come with today, later, if you want to. But I'm making that assumption that there is a heaven, okay? And it tells us in the Bible, and most things I talk about today are going to be from the Bible. You don't need to know the chapter and verse or anything like that. Just take my word for it, these things are in the Bible. The Bible tells us a little bit about the physical aspect of heaven. I'm not going to worry about that too much, okay? But just take my word for it that the physical aspect of heaven is fantastic. It's kind of paved with gold, and it's a real place, it's a real city, all right? But it's not just like Darlington or Durham or Newcastle. It's an absolutely perfect physical place. So that sounds pretty good. But what's better about heaven is not the physical aspect of it, nice as that may be, but it's the emotional aspect of heaven. Because heaven is a place of no mores, right? Heaven is a place of no more pain, no more fear, no more hassles, just no more tears, no more sorrow. That to me is summed up like this. I'm so, so happy. So I believe, right, that I'm going to go to heaven when I die. I don't have a fear of death. I don't particularly want to bring that on any quicker than necessary, but I don't have a fear of death. Okay, I love my family, love my friends, love my job, love my church, etc. But when I die, and I will die, I believe I will go to heaven. Now, my wife's here, so I'm telling you lies today, because she would know that I was lying. Am I good enough to get to heaven? Ask my wife. Her answer would be, not a chance, Alan. I am not good enough to get to heaven, and yet I firmly believe I am going. So how can that be? I'm just going to leave that thought with you. And I'm not alone in this thought, right? I'm not the only sort of person in this room who believes, though on one hand they're not good enough to get to heaven, they are definitely going. Okay, I have a faith, a belief. I don't have to cross my fingers and hope that when I die I will get there. I firmly believe I will get there. And yet, I openly admit to you, I'm not really good enough to get there. But I'm going. How's that work? Let's explore. There's an interesting question. Do you really want to be there? I mean, it sounds great, doesn't it? No more hassles, no more tears, no more pain, no more boiler breaking down on a Monday morning. Everything about heaven is going to be perfect. But do you really want to be there? Because if you are there, it's going to be about this man. And my daughter found that picture on Google Images for me. That's meant to be Jesus. I don't know if it really looked like that, but that's the best one we could find. So that's Jesus. Heaven is all about Jesus. Did you know that? I mean, if you're there, you'll be fine. Don't get me wrong, it'll be a great place. But it's not going to be about me, and it's not going to be all about you. But it is going to be all about this guy. Okay, we will worship him in heaven. We will be praising him in heaven because of what he's done. I'm going to talk about that. So there's a serious question for you I want to drop in. Do you really want to be there when it's actually all about him? Maybe you need to find out a bit more about him to see if you really want to be in heaven. I know it sounds great to me, and I definitely want to be there. So I'm going to use an analogy called the bookshelf. And there it is. There's the bookshelf, right? My bookshelf's a little bit different to that. Mine's going to have five shelves on it, five levels. Okay? And I want you to imagine that your life gets written into a book. God is writing your life story. Everything you've ever done, the good stuff, the bad stuff, the stuff you'd never tell anyone, that's in this book. Everything you've ever said, the kind stuff, the angry stuff, the gossip, all of that, that's all in there. And even everything you've ever thought about, the noble stuff and the not so noble stuff, all right? The good, the bad and the ugly will all be in your book, all the truth about your life. And I just wonder where you would put your book, where you would put your life on the bookshelf. Maybe you'd be on the top shelf, right? Maybe on there you've got like world changers, people who've done great things for good in the world. I'd have people like Nelson Mandela up there, he'd be on the top shelf, you know. William Wilberforce, who fought to abolish slavery, he'd be on there. I think I'd have Ryland from X Factor, he'd be on the top shelf. Only a few people got that joke, obviously, but the great and the good would be on the top shelf, right? And then maybe on the bottom shelf, you'd have, you know, the most notorious people in history. So we'd have Adolf Hitler on the bottom shelf, the Holocaust and all of that. We'd have Joseph Stalin on the bottom shelf. We'd have Osama bin Laden on the bottom shelf. We'd have Graham Norton on the bottom shelf. All of those people, the horrendous people, would be on that bottom shelf. But the more interesting question is, where would your life be? Where would the book of your life go? If I'm honest, I'd like to think I'm probably somewhere in the middle. I'm never going to change the world like Princess Diana or Mother Teresa. And I don't think I'm ever going to be down on the bottom shelf. I don't think anyone would place me there. But I think I'd be placed on the middle shelf. Okay? Now, maybe you're sat here, and I don't know many of you at all, actually, but maybe you're sat here, and maybe your lifestyle, maybe your past, would have you down on the bottom couple of shelves. You're probably not a notorious mass murderer, but you may be on the shelf above that. And maybe you think, you know what? I've really screwed this up. I've got no chance of getting to heaven. I've blown it. Like, what's the point of even trying? If there is a heaven, even if there is one, and I don't even know if there is one, you might be thinking, but even if there is, I've got no chance. If that's you today, listen, there is great hope for you today. Did you know that? There is great hope in a man called Jesus for you today. Because, I don't know if you know this, but when Jesus was crucified, there was people either side of him getting crucified as well. That's what they did. That's what Romans did to criminals in that time, 2,000 years ago. So Jesus getting crucified in itself wasn't a strange thing. It was a very common thing. And there was a guy to the right of Jesus also getting crucified. And he was just a bottom row, you know, bottom shelf of the bookshelf type of person. He was a common criminal. And he admitted to that. He's just a common criminal. He said that out loud. He said it to Jesus. And what did Jesus say to him? He didn't say, oh, you dirty criminal, I don't want anything to do with you. Jesus turned to him and said, you will be with me in paradise tonight. You will be with me in heaven tonight. This was a man who was a self-confessed criminal, who openly said, I deserve to be on this cross. And yet Jesus said to him, you're going to be in paradise in heaven with me tonight. How can that be? Because his life clearly wasn't a life of good works and good stuff. He didn't climb down from that cross and then live a life of good works. He died a few hours after that. He died on that cross with Jesus, the cross next to him. So if you are here and you're thinking, my book, my life story is right down the bottom. I've blown it. You haven't blown it. You've never blown it. There's always a second chance. And if you blow your second chance, there's another chance. Right? You've never blown it. There's always a chance with Jesus. There's great hope for you today. I'm going to explain a bit more about that soon. But most of us probably aren't right down the bottom shelves, are we? The bottom couple, if we're honest. Most of us probably, like me, would put us on the middle shelf. And that's okay. I commend you for being on the middle shelf. I'm not saying well done to people who are right down the bottom shelf. I'm not saying live like that. Don't hear me wrong. Okay? What I am saying is there's hope if you're down there for you. But you're probably on the middle shelf, or even a bit further up. Maybe you're a bit further up. You know, we all know someone, don't we, who we kind of say about them, oh, he'd do anything for anyone, that guy. You know, he's probably on the second shelf, you know, a little bit higher than where I put myself. So, would that get you into heaven? That's the question. Is that good enough to get you into heaven? Will Jesus come and draw the line underneath the first shelf? If he did, we're in trouble. I'm certainly in trouble. Would he come and draw under the second shelf? If so, maybe some of you would get in. Or would he come and draw under the third shelf? Phew, that might mean me, you know, and it might mean some of you. But there's a problem. Because Jesus says this, this is written in the Bible. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Now that just sounds like a load of religious mumbo jumbo when you first hear it. So let me just explain it. What is sin? Sin is just doing something that isn't pleasing to God. So it could be breaking the law of the land. All right, that could be a sin, a murder or something like that. Not only is that breaking the law, but it's also not very pleasing to God. But it doesn't have to be breaking the law of the land. Sin can be just horrible thoughts about people. Oh, I really hate that guy. You know, he really winds me up. I'd love to punch his lights out or whatever. Now, I fought that. You know, I'm not saying, oh, you horrible people, have you fought that? Because that's human, isn't it? We've all fought that. I just have to stand here and tell you I fought it and be embarrassed about it. So we've all fought that. You know, anger about something that's, you know, not deserving of it. Gossip. You know, don't be the gossip at work. It's not pleasing to God. Slander. False flattery of someone. You know, little white lies that we can all fall into. Pride. Thinking we're better than we are. All of that, you know, it's not going to get into trouble with the law, those kind of things. But it's not pleasing to God. God calls it a sin. Now, I don't physically do or say too many sins, I don't think. But I certainly think a few more than you would know. And even God knows your thoughts. So even things you say or do, and even your thoughts, if they're not pleasing to God, they're called sin. Now the good news is, we're all in it together, because all have sinned. So if that's you, right, if you're thinking, yeah, I do all that, well, you're not alone, because I do all that, right? I'm not proud, but I'm human, I do it, right? I try not to, I screw up. All have sinned and fallen short of God's standard. And this gets important because the next line says this, the wages of sin is death. And what that means is, any sin means you don't deserve a place in heaven. So if you're on that top shelf even if there be like Lady Diana, Mother Teresa, Alan Bell, right? Even if you're on that top shelf, that would not get you into heaven. Why not? Because even one sin bars you from heaven. Even one. Well, that's scary. One sin? Even one. Because heaven isn't just a pretty spectacular place. It's actually a perfect place. It's God's place. God's the king in heaven. It's like his home, right? It's his city. God's perfect, heaven's therefore perfect. There's a book right at the end of the Bible, actually, the very last book, called Revelation. And it says, nothing impure can enter the kingdom of heaven. Even one sin, by God's standard, makes you impure. Phew. Suddenly that doesn't sound too good. So even the people on the top shelf have done some things wrong in their lives, right? I don't think that's hard to accept. I think we'd all agree with that. Even if you are one of those people, right? Nobody is perfect. We say that like so glibly, don't we? Oh, well, nobody's perfect. Well, I messed up. Yeah, but nobody's perfect. But actually, it's true. Nobody, certainly not in this room, not in this country, not in the world living today, is perfect. There's only been one perfect man who's ever lived, and that's Jesus. So if you are trying to get to heaven by being good, you won't do it. What a sobering thought. You can't get to heaven, even if you're on the top shelf, because one sin means you've failed the test. It's a bit like if it was a test, the pass mark is 100%. So you might think, well, I've only got 10% of goodness in me anyway. I failed. But the people on 99% of goodness, they've failed. They're not good enough. It is impossible to get a ticket to heaven by being good. You need a ticket to heaven. And you can't earn it. You can't earn it. Because the standard is up there, not the top shelf. It's beyond that. It's perfection. Here's the good news. There's someone who has tickets. And he has enough tickets for everyone in the world, actually. If there's 7 billion people alive today, this guy's got 7 billion tickets to give out. Only Jesus can give you a ticket to heaven. Why? Because Jesus is the perfect human being. He was fully God and fully man. Jesus never said anything, never did anything, and never even thought anything that was displeasing to God, that God took offence to. And there's a little bit in the Bible, I love it. It really gives hope to this talk, because it says God wants everyone to be saved. He doesn't want people to not reach heaven. And I just need to be really blunt about this. The Bible tells us that if it's not heaven we're headed towards, it's hell. There's no like middle place, you know, there's no neutral ground for those who don't believe either. It's heaven or it's hell. And that's, I've got to be blunt about that, or I'm not being honest. I'm not telling you what the Bible says if I don't tell you that. Okay? And God loves you so much. He wants you to go to heaven. And so he sent Jesus. He sent Jesus. And Jesus went to the cross. You might know that. Jesus, well, younger than me, about age 33, about Ian's age, was executed on the cross. Okay? He was executed for crimes he didn't commit. Imagine that. Being given a death penalty, an horrific death penalty, not a quick injection, but an horrific death penalty for crimes you didn't commit. But Jesus went willingly because God loves you. Jesus loves you. And on the cross, he's not paying for his sins or his crimes, he's actually paying for yours and paying for mine. So God can look at you with all the stuff you've done wrong. When you die, and we all die sooner or later, there's that and taxes, they're the sure things in life, unless you're Jimmy, of course. But when you die, you will stand before God, and there's stuff you've said wrong, and stuff you've done wrong, and even stuff you've thought wrong. Man, that's horrifying, God knows my thoughts even. But I chose Jesus to pay the price for me. What, so all the stuff I've ever said wrong, Jesus took the punishment? Yes. Wow. All the stuff I've ever done wrong, all the stuff I've ever thought wrong, what, Jesus paid the punishment? Yes. Wow. So that means there's no sin against my name anymore. My criminal record, if you like, it was full of all that stuff. Jesus paid the price, it's wiped free. So there's no mark against my name anymore. So God says, ah, you've reached the record then, there's no sins. You're above the top shelf of the bookshelf even now. It's been wiped clear. It's been wiped clean. That's what Jesus did. That's why we get excited. That's why four people whose lives are so incredibly different are willing to stand in front of family and friends, which is harder than standing in front of strangers, isn't it? And get a public bath because they love Jesus. I thought Ian explained it brilliantly, actually. They're going down, their whole life has gone, and they're coming up, and they're clean. Not just because they've had a bath. Not just because even the hat brought some soap. But they're spiritually clean. Their sin is gone. And the moment you trust in Jesus, the moment you say, I'm following Jesus, that sin is wiped away instantly. If you're on the bottom shelf of the bookshelf today, guess what? You can have all that rubbish taken from you today. Jesus already paid the price. He's already gone to the cross for it. You don't have to do anything other than follow him. Am I good enough to get to heaven? Listen, it is not how you behave that will get you to heaven. You can't behave your way into heaven. You can't, even if you set off now and try to get 100%, it's too late because of stuff you've already done. You can't behave your way into heaven, but you can believe your way in. One day you will die. That's a sobering, horrible thought. But it's true, isn't it? It's no big deal, really, is it? We know that. And you will stand before God. And God loves you. God loves you so much. He was willing to send his only son to actually take the death penalty that we deserved. Jesus paid for our crimes, not for his. So I'm going to give you some options now. This is what you can do as a result of hearing this. You can walk out. You can shut the door on it. And you can never think about it again. You can do that. I don't recommend you do that. That's not my preferred choice for you today. But I'm not going to chase after you and, you know, hit you over the head with a Bible till you believe, right? It's nothing to do with me in one sense. It's between you and God. But I do ask you, what if I'm right? What if what I've described, the Christian message basically, what if that is right? And when you die and you're standing before this holy God And he says, you've done stuff wrong. You may have been on the top shelf of the bookshelf, but even the stuff you've done wrong, you have to pay the price for that. And that isn't a place in heaven. Choosing to not follow God, why would you want to go to his place anyway then? So that's not my preferred choice for you. You could do this. You could keep coming here. This is a fantastic church. I love this church. I really feel a part of this church, actually. There are people here, Ian and Alan and Andrew and John, who will look after you and help you, and others, who will feed you good spiritual food, who will help you find out more about this guy, Jesus, who is the only way to heaven. Jesus made that claim for himself. I am the only way, not Mohammed, not Buddha, not atheism, not Richard Dawkins. I am the only way. I am the way to the Father, said Jesus. The only way. That's a big claim. Why don't you check it out? Keep coming here. Maybe ask about the next Alpha course. Or you can do something today. You can talk to the person you came with today. I'm sure the four guys that got baptized would be only too happy to tell you a little bit more about this Jesus guy and what he's done for them. You know what? They're great guys, but they're not like special in any sense of the way that you're not. What Jesus has done for them, he's urgent and desperate to actually do for you. You might not even believe in him, but he believes in you. He wants to change your life for the better. He doesn't just promise a life in heaven. He promises a life with him from the moment you choose to walk with him. He'll be with you every day. Not just a Sunday, but Monday to Saturday as well. Oh, please feel free to come and speak to any of the guys you saw at the front, or come and speak to me at the end. You can make a decision today to be placed not on the top shelf of the bookshelf, because who wants to be there? Because that doesn't get you anywhere. Not really. Might get you some fame and riches in this life, but doesn't get you anywhere in the next. Who wants to be on the top shelf? Why not go to the very top, beyond the top shelf? Why not be with Jesus? Why not know that even though you're not good enough, this is how I started, even though you're not good enough, why not have your place in heaven by getting a ticket from Jesus? I'm going to hand over to Ian now. Okay.